Imagine you are the former Prime Minister of Australia. You need a day off. You want to go out and see the Blue Mountains. But your security detail sits you down and says you have a massive logistical problem.
Right, because you can't exactly just hop on a public bus.
Exactly. You cannot just jump onto a crowded minibus with a guy holding a yellow umbrella. The vetting required for who drives you, the exact engineering of the vehicle they use, and their tactical ability to pivot if a thunderstorm hits.
Or if a crowd suddenly forms, yeah.
Right. The level of clearance required is just staggering. Most tour companies on Earth would instantly fail that security check. So today, we are looking at the anatomy of the operation that actually gets that clearance.
It is an incredibly high bar. You know, when we think of tourism, we usually picture something very casual. You book a ticket, you show up, you follow the crowd.
Yeah, totally.
But at a certain echelon, the entire architecture of the experience changes. It stops being about simply pointing at landmarks and starts becoming an exercise in, well, logistics, risk management, and environmental curation.
And that is exactly what we are deconstructing today. Welcome to this deep dive. We are exploring the hidden mechanics of a genuinely premium travel experience.
Which is so needed right now.
It really is. To do this, we are looking at a real-world case study. We've got a stack of sources detailing the operations of Andrew Sorokin, who is a highly rated private guide based in Sydney, Australia.
And we're going to break down how his approach, the extreme transparency, the hyper-adaptability, the incredible depth of knowledge, how all of that completely flips the standard tourism model on its head.
Because, let's be honest, the word private has been completely hijacked in the travel industry, hasn't it?
Hijacked, diluted, and frankly, entirely stripped of its original meaning. If you look at the broader market mechanics right now, the industry standard fake private tour is just rampant.
Yeah, the fake private tour, it's the worst.
It really is. For a lot of operators, advertising a private tour just means that the bus itself is privately owned by the company, not the state. Then they proceed to pack that bus with 18 complete strangers.
Maximizing the payload to the legal limit.
Exactly. It's all about volume.
It's the ultimate bait and switch. You book what you think is this exclusive, romantic, or, at least personalized day out for your family, and you end up fighting for elbow room.
While listening to a canned recording through a blown-out speaker.
Yes, and waiting 45 minutes for someone else's kids to finish buying souvenirs at a tourist trap you didn't even want to visit in the first place. You were basically just cargo on a rigid schedule.
Well, the problem stems from the economics of the traditional tour industry, right?
Yeah.
They operate on a volume-based margin.
Meaning they have to pack people in.
Right. The business model literally requires putting as many bodies into a confined space as possible to achieve profitability. But when you examine an operation like the one we were looking at today in Sydney, the economic engine is built entirely differently.
It's structural.
Exactly. It isn't found in the marketing adjectives. It is baked into the structural mechanics of how the service is priced and delivered.
I noticed this immediately when looking at his business model. The pricing structure is a complete departure from the norm. Usually, when you are trying to book a vacation activity, you are navigating a psychological
Oh,
minefield.
absolutely.
You see a low base price on a search engine, say 150 bucks, and you think, great deal. That's never the real price, is it?
Almost never. What the standard industry relies on is a psychological tactic known as drip pricing.
Drip pricing.
Right. It's a mechanism where the total cost is revealed to the consumer incrementally. So you get hooked by the artificially low base price, you invest time filling out your details, and then the extra fees start dripping in.
Right. Like first, it's a booking fee.
Then a fuel surcharge, then mandatory gratuities. By the time you reach the final checkout page, the price has bloated significantly.
It's exactly like buying a concert ticket online.
Yeah.
You see a ticket.
And you end up feeling completely taken advantage of before you've even heard a single song.
Exactly. It poisons the well.
Precisely. Drip pricing creates a low-level sense of anxiety and mistrust that, poisons the relationship before the tour has even begun. Now, contrast that with the model we are analyzing today. This operation utilizes what is called transparent vehicle-based pricing.
So not per person.
Right. Instead of charging per person, which immediately penalizes couples or small families, it operates on a flat rate per vehicle.
Okay, so looking at the sources, for his full day deep dives into Sydney or the surrounding areas, and these are 8 to 10 hour excursions, the base rate is around 1,000 Australian dollars.
Right, which is for the vehicle, for one or two people.
And if you want to bring a third person from your city pickup, it's just a flat $50 fee for the extra passenger.
Think about the paradigm shift there. If a traditional company charges $300 per person, a group of four ends up paying $1,200.
Oh, yeah.
They are paying double what a couple pays for the exact same vehicle, using the exact same amount of the guide's time, and burning the exact same amount of fuel. The flat rate model subverts that penalty completely.
It treats the consumer's intelligence with respect. You are renting the expertise and the hardware for the day, regardless of whether there are two of you or four of you in the back seat.
Exactly.
And there is another layer to this transparency that really jumped out at me, especially for anyone who has traveled in Australia. It's the GST.
Ah, yes. The goods and services tax.
Right, which is 10%. In the fine print of so many private tour companies, they publish their prices without that 10% included. They hide it until the very last second.
It's incredibly frustrating.
But this model explicitly absorbs it. The published price includes all taxes, and it even includes all the toll roads you hit along the way. I mean, why is the industry so addicted to hiding that 10%? And what happens to the power dynamic when a guy just puts it all on the table up front?
Well, the industry hides the tax because they are competing in a frantic race to the bottom on algorithmic search engines. When a tourist sorts by lowest price, a company that hides a 10% tax and a 5% toll surcharge will artificially appear higher in the rankings than an honest company.
Right, for their gaming the system.
Exactly. It is a short-term strategy to capture the immediate click, but it fundamentally sacrifices long-term trust. When a premium operator like Andrew includes the GST and the tolls and the flat rate, it completely shifts the power dynamic.
It eliminates that cognitive friction.
Right. It says, here is the absolute cost of my time. No ambushes.
It replaces that anxiety with relief.
Yeah.
But I want to push back on this a little bit just to play devil's advocate. We are talking about 1,000, 1,100, sometimes up to 1,350 Australian dollars for a 10-hour day.
It is a significant investment, yes.
Even with the flat rate advantage for families. That is a serious premium. To command that level of pricing in a highly saturated market, you can't just be a friendly local with a clean car and a few fun facts about the Sydney Opera House.
No, you absolutely cannot.
How does a single operator justify that kind of top-tier investment?
You justify it through a verifiable pedigree of expertise, and that is where the architecture of a premium service really begins to separate from the pack. When we analyze the specific business, we see a level of sustained professional longevity that is, frankly, incredibly rare.
Because tourism has huge turnover, right?
Huge. The industry typically suffers from massive burnout. Many guides last a season or two. This operation has been actively running since 2006.
Wow. Almost two decades of navigating the complexities of Australian logistics.
Exactly. And beyond mere longevity, it's about the specific skill sets developed over that time. For instance, he is the founder of an organization called Russian Guides of Australia and operates with complete bilingual fluency in both English and Russian.
Which opens up a massive international clientele. Looking at the sources, he's dealing with tourists flying in from the USA, Canada, the UK, Australia itself, and Israel.
It's a very diverse demographic.
Being bilingual in a tour setting, especially a private 8-hour intensive setting, isn't just about translating words directly from a dictionary, is it?
Not at all. It requires a profound level of cognitive agility. It is about cultural translation.
Cultural translation. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you are guiding a family from Toronto on a Tuesday and a high net worth couple from Moscow on a Wednesday, their baseline cultural expectations, their pacing, and their way of processing historical information are going to be fundamentally different.
Well, that makes sense. You have to read the room on a cultural level.
Exactly. A truly premium guide doesn't just switch languages, they switch cultural frameworks. Over the course of nearly 20 years, he has conducted well over 1,000 of these bespoke private tours.
And it's not just the sheer volume of tours that caught my attention. It's the passenger manifest. We touched on this at the very beginning with the Prime Minister scenario. This isn't a hypothetical.
Right. It's actual documented history.
He actually handles major VIP clients and international celebrities. Two names that specifically highlight this in our sources are Anne Vesky, a massive international singer, and Kevin Rudd.
The 26th Prime Minister of Australia.
Exactly. And the Australian Ambassador to the USA.
Managing an itinerary for a former head of state and a sitting international ambassador fundamentally changes the operational rulebook. When you reach that echelon, the tour is no longer just about entertainment. it becomes an exercise in elite logistics.
Walk me through what that actually looks like behind the scenes. Because a VIP's security detail doesn't just pull up a search engine, pick a guide with a nice smile, and throw a prime minister into the passenger seat.
No, the vetting process is rigorous and deeply invasive. A security detail will scrutinize the guide's background, their driving record, the exact maintenance logs of their vehicles, and their ability to maintain absolute discretion.
So it's about minimizing risk on every front.
Exactly. They look at operational contingencies. If a road is blocked, does this guide know three alternate routes that are secure? If a crowd swarms a location, does the guide have the situational awareness to pivot immediately?
Right.
Handling dignitaries requires an infrastructure of safety that most tourism companies simply cannot afford to maintain.
That makes perfect sense for a head of state. Mm. But let me ask this, for you, the listener right now. If I'm just a regular person, say an architect from Chicago, taking my partner on a nice vacation, why should I care about this VIP pedigree?
It's a fair question.
Why does it matter to me that he holds public liability insurance through Marsh Advantage for $20 million Australian dollars? Because to the average traveler, a $20 million insurance policy just sounds like corporate paperwork.
It sounds like paperwork until you understand how the insurance industry assesses risk. A $20 million liability policy is not something an insurance underwriter hands out to an amateur hobbyist. It acts as a massive structural filter.
How so? Like, what does the insurance company actually do?
Well, actuaries are in the business of calculating risk down to the microscopic level. For an entity like Marsh Advantage Insurance to expose themselves to $20 million of liability, they require the operator to demonstrate bulletproof safety protocols.
So they're doing the vetting for you.
Precisely. They demand rigorous, documented vehicle maintenance standards. They demand professional operational procedures for everything from weather emergencies to wildlife encounters.
That is fascinating.
So for the average traveler from Chicago, that policy is a proxy for ultimate trust. It proves that the invisible infrastructure supporting your Tuesday afternoon wine tour is built to elite institutional standards. It gives you absolute peace of mind.
You don't have to worry if the brakes have been checked, because the insurance underwriters already made sure of it before you even landed in Sydney.
Exactly. And the consumer market responds to that invisible infrastructure. When you look at his credentials, he's a member of the International Tourist Association of Professionals, and look at the consistency of his recognitions.
Right, the TripAdvisor Awards.
Yeah, TripAdvisor Certificates of Excellence in 2017, 2018, 2019, and Traveler's Choice Awards in 2020 and 2024. That kind of multi-year consistency is statistically very difficult to achieve.
Because travel is inherently chaotic. You have unpredictable weather, terrible traffic, sudden road closures. To maintain a perfect rating across almost a decade means you aren't just having lucky days. You have engineered a system that absorbs that chaos so the client never feels it.
Precisely. The system absorbs the friction. And a critical physical component of that system, the literal mechanism that absorbs the bumps in the road, is the hardware he uses, the physical fleet.
Let's get into the fleet, because this connects directly back to that prime minister level of service. If you are charging premium rates and dealing with VIPs, you cannot put them in a rattling 15-year-old white van with broken air conditioning and zero legroom.
No, that would ruin the experience entirely.
I noticed he completely avoids standard, generic tour buses. What is he actually driving these clients around in?
The hardware is exclusively top-tier executive transport. He utilizes his own premium luxury fleet. Specifically, the operations rely on models like the Mercedes Volante, which is a 9-seat vehicle, the Hyundai Steria Highlander, the Mercedes Sprinter, and the Mercedes-Benz V-Class.
These aren't just nice cars, though. They're engineered for a very specific type of endurance, right?
They are the industry standard for executive transport for several highly technical reasons. First is acoustic dampening.
Acoustic dampening? Why does that matter on a tour?
When you are on a tour, communication is everything. In a cheap van, the road noise and the engine rattle force the guide to shout and the passengers to strain to hear. Over the course of an 8-hour day, that acoustic stress physically exhausts the traveler.
Oh, wow. I never even thought about that, but you're totally right. You get out of the van and you just have a headache.
Exactly. Vehicles like the Mercedes V-Class are designed with heavy sound insulation, meaning the cabin remains quiet. You can have a normal, relaxed conversation at highway speeds.
It's the difference between being screamed at through a megaphone
yeah.
and having a private chat in the living room.
Exactly. Then you factor in the advanced zoned climate control, the premium suspension designed to absorb the harshness of rural or coastal roads, and the spatial volume. You have a 9-seat Mercedes entirely to yourself or just for your partner and kids.
I always like to use this analogy when thinking about premium travel. Think of the vehicle as a theater. If the guide's storytelling, their historical knowledge, and the beautiful itinerary are the play, then the Mercedes V-Class is the stage.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. You can hire the greatest actors on earth to put on an absolute masterpiece, but if the theater seats are broken, the room is 90 degrees, and you have a stranger's elbow jammed into your ribs because they oversold the tickets, you simply cannot enjoy the play. The physical environment dictates your capacity to absorb the experience.
That is a perfect framework. The luxury hardware isn't about vanity. It is about preserving the physical stamina and the mood of the client over a 10-hour expedition. But as your analogy points out, a great stage is completely useless without an incredible performance.
Right. The play has to actually be good.
Exactly. And this brings us to one of the most fascinating aspects of his operation, the actual methodology of the guiding itself.
The performance. Because we have all been trapped in that exact scenario. You're on a nice bus, driving through a beautiful landscape, but the guide is just droning on, reading from a laminated script they memorized in 1998. It is the dreaded dry history lecture.
It is the factory model of tourism. The scripted tour exists because it is easy to scale. A company can hire cheap, inexperienced labor, hand them a binder, and tell them to read page 4 when they pass the bridge.
It's robotic.
Highly robotic. But the model we are deconstructing today takes the exact opposite approach. The methodology is explicitly described as unboring.
Which is a bold claim. I mean, how do you guarantee an unboring 8 hours?
You guarantee it through cross-disciplinary expertise. The operator doesn't just know basic dates and names. He is deeply self-educated across a massive range of disciplines, Australian history, complex geology, local wildlife biology, and nuanced Aboriginal culture. Because of this depth, he completely eschews rigid scripted speeches.
Wait, so there is no script at all?
No script. None. The methodology relies on a highly dynamic, reactive style of guiding. He is constantly reading the room to see what the clients are actually interested in, but more importantly, he is reading the environment.
The environmental awareness is what really struck me. It's not just a leisurely passive drive. It's highly tactical. The operation involves actively checking live weather radars throughout the day and shifting routes on the fly to avoid both storm cells and those big bus tourist crowds.
This is where the premium value truly crystallizes. A scripted guide is a prisoner to their itinerary.
Right. They have to follow the list.
Exactly. If the schedule says you visit the main lookout at 1.00 p.m., a scripted guide takes you there at 1.00 p.m., even if there are 10 massive buses already there, and even if a torrential downpour is happening. You get wet, you see nothing but fog, you take a terrible photo, and the day is essentially ruined.
Because they don't know what else to do. If they go off script, they have nothing to say.
Exactly. But an adaptive guide, one armed with deep, cross-disciplinary knowledge, operates entirely differently. If he sees on the radar that a storm is hitting the primary valley in the Blue Mountains, he pivots instantly.
He reroutes.
Yes. He uses his understanding of the local geology and microclimates to navigate to a different hidden valley that is currently bathed in sunlight. He replaces a memorized monologue with real-time environmental curation.
I have to challenge this, though, because if I am paying $1,350 for a 10-hour tour, part of me wants a guarantee. I want a polished, perfected presentation. Isn't it incredibly risky to not have a script?
How do you mean?
Well, what happens if you take that detour to avoid the rain? You end up on a road you don't usually take, and you just run out of things to say. It seems like a high-wire act without a safety net.
It only feels like a risk if you view knowledge as a finite list of facts to be recited. When you rely on a script, the script is your safety net. The moment you step off the rehearsed path, you fall.
Right.
But when you possess encyclopedic structural knowledge of a region, when you truly understand the tectonic forces that created a canyon millions of years ago, or the intricate migration patterns of the local wildlife, you don't need a script because the environment itself becomes the prompt.
Oh, the landscape generates the story.
Exactly. The storytelling becomes spontaneous and contextual. If a client sees a strange rock formation and asks a highly specific, weird question, you can answer it effortlessly because you actually understand the geology. You aren't reciting facts. You are translating the landscape in real time.
It is the exact difference between a tourist reading from a phrase book and a local who is completely fluent in the language.
Beautifully said. The deep knowledge is the safety net that allows for complete flexibility.
And as an added layer of removing friction, the sources note he also takes high-quality photos and videos throughout the day and shares them with the guests afterward. Which sounds like a small detail, but psychologically it's massive.
It changes how you experience the day.
It really does. It means the client can actually put their phone in their pocket, stop viewing the world through a screen, and just be present in the moment, knowing the documentation is being handled by a professional.
It is another way of absorbing the cognitive load of travel so the client can simply experience the day.
Okay, so we've thoroughly established how this operation runs. We have the transparent economics, the VIP safety vetting, the luxury hardware, and the unscripted tactical methodology. Now, we need to examine where this methodology is actually applied, because the scope of the operation is vast. I was looking through the itinerary catalog, and it lists 31 distinct, highly engineered tours in and around Sydney.
31 distinct tours for a single operator is an unusually massive portfolio.
It's basically an encyclopedia of the region.
It really is. It suggests a deep, granular permeation into the geography of New South Wales. It isn't just skimming the surface of the main tourist traps. It's an exhaustive mapping of the region. And looking at the structure of these tours allows us to really see that modular pricing philosophy in action.
Let's break some of these down, starting with what I'd call the essentials. If you are short on time, there's a one-day Sydney private guided day tour focusing on the city and the eastern suburbs. It's an eight-hour deep dive priced at a flat $1,000 Australian for the vehicle, or a condensed half-day for $600.
Right, which is a great baseline.
But the real showcase of his model happens when you leave the city limits. Let's look at the two-day offering, the Blue Mountains private guided day tour.
The Blue Mountains tour perfectly illustrates the consumer empowerment of his pricing structure. It is an eight-hour expedition featuring ancient mountains, deep canyons, waterfalls, and wild kangaroos and koalas.
Sounds amazing.
It is. The base price for the vehicle, the expert navigation, and the dynamic guiding is a transparent $1,100 Australian. But notice the treatment of the commercial attractions within that region.
This work gets brilliant. The attraction tickets are completely unbundled from the base price. The outline specifically notes that it is an additional $49 if you want to enter Featherdale Wildlife Park and an additional $70 if you want to experience Scenic World.
Let's analyze why that matters. A standard tour operator will often bundle those tickets into the base price, inflating an $1,100 tour into a $1,300 tour.
So everyone pays for it no matter what.
Right. They force every passenger to subsidize those activities, whether they want to participate or not.
Exactly. If I am claustrophobic and have zero desire to ride a steep railway down a cliff at Scenic World, a bundled tour forces me to pay for it anyway, and then forces me to sit on a bench for an hour waiting for everyone else to finish.
Precisely. By unbundling the commercial attractions, Andrew ensures you are only paying for exactly what you consume. You are paying the $1,100 for his elite logistical capability and the Mercedes transport.
And nothing else. Unless you choose to.
Right. If you want the railway experience, you add the $70. If you prefer to spend that hour taking a private guided hike along the canyon rim with him instead, you don't pay the $70. You are in total control of the capital allocation for your day.
It fundamentally respects the traveler's autonomy. And as we move beyond the mountains, the catalog details these incredible coastal escapes. There is the three-day South Coast private guided day tour. It's a nine-hour journey priced at $1,150. And the environmental descriptions for this route are just staggering.
The South Coast represents a completely different ecological zone. The documentation highlights a rainforest of gigantic trees, sweeping ocean roads, hidden waterfalls, and coastal temples.
Just visualize that combination for a second. Imagine you are on this South Coast tour. You are sitting in the climate-controlled silence of a Mercedes V-Class. Out the right window, you have a sheer drop to a crashing ocean road. Out the left window, you are flanked by an ancient rainforest of gigantic trees.
It's stunning.
And because your guide woke up, checked the weather radar, and dynamically adjusted the departure time, you arrive at a stunning coastal temple at the exact moment the clouds part. completely dodging three massive buses full of tourists that got caught in the rain an hour earlier. That is the premium difference.
Right.
It's not just driving past a landmark. It is optimizing the exact conditions under which you experience it.
It is the curation of time and space. And if a client prefers a different coastal aesthetic, the catalog offers the four-day North Sydney and Central Coast tour.
Oh, tell me about that one.
It is also 9 hours, also $1,150, but it shifts the focus toward ancient Aboriginal rock engravings, wild kangaroo habitats, and iconic cultural locations like Manly in the Northern Beaches.
I want to pause on those Aboriginal rock engravings. History like that requires immense context. If you are on a bus with 20 people, straining to hear a guide over a cheap microphone as they recite a generic paragraph about those engravings, the profound historical weight of that site is completely lost.
Completely lost, yeah.
But to have a guide who is deeply self-educated in Aboriginal culture, explaining the nuance of those engravings to you in absolute privacy, allowing you to ask questions and absorb the silence of the area, that is an invaluable educational experience.
Right. It elevates the tour from mere sightseeing to high-level cultural immersion. But for clients who want to push the absolute limits of geographical exploration in a single day, we have to look at what I would categorize as the endurance runs of his catalog.
Oh, yes, the 10-hour epics.
Exactly. Executing a 10-hour private tour is a massive undertaking. It requires immense stamina from both the guide and the client. It is where that luxury vehicle hardware and that adaptive, unboring methodology are absolutely pushed to their limits to prevent client fatigue.
One of the major 10-hour excursions is the 5-day wine tour, priced at $1,250. And it's not just a standard tasting run. The itinerary includes wine tasting, artisanal cheese, and chocolate tasting, and intriguingly, encountering wild animals in the region.
Right. It's a full-spectrum sensory deep dive into the local produce and ecology.
But the tour that I think serves as the ultimate masterclass in this modular, consumer-centric business model is the Port Stephens tour.
The Port Stephens itinerary is fascinating from an economic and logistical standpoint. It is another 10-hour epic. The base rate for the vehicle, the decade of expertise, and the long-haul navigation up the coast is set at $1,350. But then, it offers a highly granular menu of add-ons driven entirely by seasonal reality and personal preference.
Right. Instead of a bloated, one-size-fits-all package, the options are completely decoupled. You can add a 1.5-hour dolphin cruise for an incredible precise $28 per person.
Or, if you happen to be booking between June and October, you can pivot to a 1.5-hour whale-watching tour for $69.
And, if you want to inject some adrenaline into the day, you can add an hour of dune sandboarding for $28 per person.
This modularity eliminates the waste of standard tourism. If you are prone to seasickness, you simply don't book the boat, and your budget isn't penalized for an activity you are physically unable to enjoy.
Right, or if you hate getting sand in your shoes, you skip the sandboarding.
Exactly. But if you are an adventurous family that wants to maximize every minute and do it all, the pricing structure is laid out with surgical transparency before the engine even turns over.
You never feel nickel and dimed, because you are the one holding the purse strings at every decision point. And he applies this across specialty niches as well. There is a mountains with cave and wild kangaroos encounter priced at $1,350.
And the dedicated wildlife tour, right?
Yeah. There's a dedicated 9-hour wildlife animals tour for $1,150, which cleanly separates the $55 adult or $35 child entry fee for the reptile park. He has routes to Jervis Bay for dolphin watching, the Hunter Valley for deep wine exploration, and the Kooring Guide Chase National Park.
When you step back and look at the entirety of this 31-tour catalog, you are looking at a business architecture engineered entirely around the concept of bespoke reality. It fundamentally rejects the factory model of the travel industry.
It absolutely does.
By combining transparent economics, elite luxury hardware, the strict safety vetting required for international dignitaries, and an encyclopedic, unscripted methodology, Andrew Sorokin has built a service that treats the traveler not as cargo, but as an intelligent partner in exploration.
It is a phenomenal blueprint for how to operate ethically and exceptionally in an industry that so frequently defaults to cutting corners. Pulling all of these analytical threads together, it reveals what true, tangible value looks like. A genuinely premium experience isn't about slapping a shiny logo on a brochure or charging more just for the sake of it.
No, it is about the systematic removal of friction. It is the relief of knowing the 10% GST isn't hiding in the shadows waiting to ambush you.
Yes.
It is the physical comfort of a Mercedes V-Class preserving your energy over a 10-hour day. And it is the intellectual thrill of traveling with an expert who can pivot away from a rainstorm and instantly weave the geology, history, and culture of a new route into a seamless narrative.
Exactly. It's about transforming what could be a stressful logistical nightmare into effortless, high-definition discovery. So as we close out this deep dive into the mechanics of premium travel, I want to leave you, the listener, with a challenge, a thought experiment to test your own local expertise.
Oh, this is a good one.
Think about your own hometown, the place you know better than anyone else. If you are suddenly tasked tomorrow morning with giving a major VIP, let's say an international ambassador, with high-level security clearance, an 8-hour, completely off-script private tour of your city, how would you do it?
It's harder than it sounds.
Way harder. If you had to actively dodge the crowded, obvious tourist traps, if you had to pivot on the fly because a massive thunderstorm suddenly rolled in, and if you had to organically weave together the local history, the hidden architecture, and the cultural quirks without ever once sounding like a dry, boring textbook, where exactly would you take them?
And what hidden stories would you tell to prove that you aren't just reciting facts, but truly translating your home for them?
It is a complex logistical and intellectual puzzle. And attempting to solve it really illuminates the immense invisible skill required to execute it flawlessly every single day at a world-class level.
It really does. It changes the way you look at travel forever.
Until next time, keep exploring and never settle for being just cargo on a rigid schedule.